Are you feeling a little under the weather? Maybe you have an unusual rash or a lump on your side, on the side of your neck. When something like that happens, most people turn to the internet for some clue as to what might be going on. And although self-diagnosing an illness online may not supply all of the right answers, we usually assume it's confidential. Not true, says Brian Merchant, senior editor for Vice's science and tech channel Motherboard. It turns out that an astonishing number of the pages that we visit to learn about our health concerns are sending our data to third-party corporations, all for profit. We have a link to Brian's article on our show page at WNYC.org, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hi there. Good to be here.
Let's begin by talking about cold sores. If someone types that into a search engine and then clicks on the WebMD or CDC link for more information, what happens?
Well, what happens is your search is not going to be as private as you might have thought it would be. So when you click, and now it's a little bit different, whether you're clicking on a for-profit corporation like WebMD or a nonprofit like CDC, but either way, that information about your search and your data is going to be broadcast to a number of outside parties that will often include specific data about the nature of your symptoms. So if you're searching for cold sores and you click on that WebMD link, Tim Leibert, who did the research that kind of uncovered this mass privacy breach, says that WebMD is quote-unquote calling up everybody in town and saying, look, this is what you're looking at. So
when you say everybody in town, who are we talking about?
I'm talking about Google. I'm talking about Twitter. I'm talking about Facebook. I'm talking
about Experian as well.
So Experian, a big credit broker, a big online data broker who kind of traffics in this kind of business, makes money collecting data and selling it to banks and tinkering with your credit score. So Experian was found on 5% of all health search sites that you click on, so thousands and thousands and thousands. It's on WebMD. It's on a number of other popularly trafficked websites, sites that people assume are safe. So WebMD is basically saying, hey, you're searching for herpes, you're searching for whooping cough, and they're shipping that data right out to Experian.
And they send it to 34 separate domains.
That's right. That's right.
Is that data being used to tailor ads, or is it being sold directly?
Well, that's the interesting thing, is we really don't know what's going on with this data. We know that it can be collected. We know that it's perfectly legal for it to be collected under the current legal regime. But we don't know exactly what companies are doing with it because there's no oversight right now.
Okay, so somebody who has some concern goes to the CDC website. That information winds up in the hands of Google or another third party. Now, why would the CDC, which is a government organization, are they selling it?
So that's the interesting thing, is that there's really no nefarious intent here, or not even any profit motive. What happens is companies like Google, Twitter, and Facebook will offer these quote-unquote free products that help web developers install elements on their pages to do various things. So Google offers a very, very popular product called Google Analytics that if you plug that into the back end of your website, it will tell you crucial data about where users are coming from, where they're going within your site, how often they're visiting, and so on and so forth.
Stuff that CDC would want, and they're happy that it's being offered free.
Right, and they're happy that it's being offered for free, and they're not really paying attention to the fact that Google's doing this because they then get all that data. It gets broadcast to them as well every time that you visit the CDC. Now, Google may or may not be interested in whether or not you have a cold sore, but they have that data. They can ascertain it because they are also, along with that click, getting your IP address, identifying information about your computer, and they could very easily put it together.
But if I look up an illness, how do they know I actually have it? Couldn't I be looking it up because I'm curious, because somebody else I know may have it, or just as general research as part of producing a radio show?
Right. So, again, it speaks to the fact that we really don't know what they're doing with this or how closely they're watching. The thing that we do know is that if they wanted to really spend some time, and if you did worry about cold sores, you're probably going to Google them over and over more than something else. If a one-off curiosity, they might be able to find the signal in that noise. We just don't know for sure. But what we're really worried about is not so much whether or not Google can tell whether we're sick or not. that, but about these sort of extenuating circumstances that down the line, someone like Experian, which already has information about your lending practices, maybe your student loans. And
yeah,
they
thought it was a credit bureau. Yeah. Why would they want to know about whether I have some medical condition?
Right. Well, again, we don't know for sure. We can speculate. But I talked to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and one of their representatives told me, say, imagine that you're a bank and somebody's applying for a loan. And suddenly you have access to this information. Oh, well, this person may have a chronic illness. And because some 60% of bankruptcies are related to medical causes or medical bankruptcies, that's maybe an important indicator that this guy is not going to be able to pay his loan. And it's intrusive and it's invasive and it's perhaps discriminatory. But they said, yeah, for sure, this is something that we could maybe expect to happen in the future.
And there are no privacy laws protecting us?
There are no privacy laws protecting this user side. These searches are all sort of being volunteered by the user. Now, in 1996, there was a law enacted called HIPAA that protected patients' electronic medical records from being shared by doctors and the government. So on that side, we're covered. HIPAA prevents the government from making public your private medical data. But on these online search things, it's basically tracking our behavior on our side. There's nothing.
Because in the other case, the doctor is supplying it. In this case, we're actually supplying it ourselves.
Right. It's a whole new frontier. Yeah.
You mentioned Google more than once. Why are they a major player here?
Well, they're the...
I mean, I from what you say in your article, even if I'm not using Google, Google somehow finds out.
Google is everywhere. On the modern internet, Google is everywhere. If you're not using Google as a search engine, you might be using it for your email. You might be encountering it, again, on the back end of all these pages. So Google Analytics was installed in 45% of the 80,000 health sites that he...
But if I go to Yahoo, Google's still going to get that information?
It is, because Google Analytics might be installed on whatever site that you click on the back end. It's installed on 45% of all of these sites that Tim Leibert analyzed. So its elements were installed on 78%, I believe. The vast majority of all of these trackers are owned by Google, which means that one company has access to all this health data.
Now, Google has said that the reason that they track some of those things is just simply to give us better ads, which is actually information that we might need if we have some concern.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Is that fair?
Well, it's...
Are we being naive?
Well, I mean, I think it's a trait. We have to think about how much data we want to volunteer, how much we're willing to keep stored about us. There are, you know, the only major real-life incident that we can point to of this happening is in Canada, a man who was suffering from sleep apnea started to Google sleep apnea medical devices, things that could help alleviate his symptoms. Before long, he started noticing that he was getting targeted for sleep apnea ads. And he said, well, this is kind of creepy. These ads are following me around. So he submitted the request, the complaint to Canada's Privacy Commission. And sure enough, they found that Google had violated the laws by...
Canadian laws.
Canadian laws, not U.S. laws. Again, this is legal in the U.S. But Canadian companies are not allowed to volunteer medical information about consumers. And that's what Google had done to inform these advertisers that then started targeting him with health ads.
And what happened? He won a court case, didn't he?
Well, yes. They did determine that Google broke the law. And Google basically took the slap on the wrist and said, well, we probably shouldn't have volunteered all this. But ultimately, it was the advertiser's fault for violating the laws. It was their choice to run these ads. But we will make some adjustments to our policies.
Is part of the problem that we keep on hearing many members of Congress aren't very tech savvy, and so they would not see this as a concern, or is it just simply a matter of they don't want to regulate anything? They don't want to regulate whether I bring a gun into a kindergarten.
Well, you know, I think that it's both. I think that the vast majority of Congress, as it stands right now, is woefully uneducated on tech policy issues. And there are a handful that do a good job. But again, I think you're right. Even if, you know, they were educated, I don't know that they would have the wherewithal to regulate something like this at this juncture.
My guest is Brian Merchant, who's a senior editor for Vice's Science and Tech channel called Motherboard. And we are talking about how so many things that we think are private interactions with us and some online service turn out to be anything but private. You write about a company called MedBase 200, which was reported as using proprietary models to generate and sell lists with classifications such as rape sufferers, domestic abuse victims, and HIV/AIDS patients. Are these lists being compiled to sell ads?
That was the goal of that one, and that was a pretty ugly example. Thankfully, that, to my knowledge, has been shut down, but it just really shows you the potential of what's out there. I mean, yeah, that data is out there. They can collect, lists of people who are suffering from certain ailments, people who have psychological traumas, people who have really suffered, and they can sell that to data brokers and advertisers.
And it can be linked to my Facebook?
Well, Facebook is one of the biggest depositories of information. Facebook is learning an awful lot about all this stuff.
Well, what would Facebook want to know about whether somebody was or had been raped or suffered from domestic abuse? You don't put that on your Face page.
Well, Facebook isn't interested in it per se, except for that it, again, gives
your profile, you... I'm showing my age here.
Yeah. No, they're learning more things about you. And again, I don't think Facebook would really want anybody to target ads to those demographics, but they're the filter through which other third parties can learn those things.
Now, we mentioned the CDC, but there are any number of government sites, nonprofits, and universities that also are sharing this information, you say inadvertently.
Yeah.
The Mayo Clinic, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah. There are hundreds of them. Anybody that has installed Google Analytics, Facebook buttons, add this popular back-end software that is convenient and free, anybody that has installed that is inadvertently coughing up this data.
And you report that this extends to places that aren't even health sites, like Merriam-Webster, Free Dictionary,
yeah,
and eHow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think one of the most important takeaways from this research is that this is just one corner of an example of how the internet works. This is just one example. This is happening everywhere. All websites, certainly all commercial websites, many, many government websites.
But you say not Wikipedia. That's an exception.
But not Wikipedia. You have to, at this point, you almost have to make a concerted effort not to install elements that will track you. Organizations like Wikipedia do a great job. They were one of the only organizations who ran websites that consistently did not track users. So if you're sick and you're going to Google symptoms, Wikipedia is your best bet, probably.
Cold sore wiki.
Yeah.
But, so it's being sold to these third parties who then package them and sell them to other places. But are they all being stored safely, or can they also be hacked?
Well, I should point out that we're not sure that it's being sold. We just know that it's being broadcasted.
Well,
and
somebody's
most
paying
stored
for them, so somebody is seeing these as profit areas.
Right. That is an assumption. And no, we have no idea whether it's being securely stored or not. All these searches that you've done about your private health condition are sitting somewhere on a server, very possibly. We have no idea how securely that data is being stored. Google is very assertive and states very emphatically that they are not sharing this data with anybody else, that they're keeping good care of it. But ultimately, it's up to us to trust them. And I don't know if that's a position that we want to be in.
And I don't recall signing up for this.
Well, you did when you signed up for your Gmail account.
So when I did that thing where they gave me 85 pages in 5-point type, what I used to call mice type when I was in the advertising business, and then finally I go blind trying to read it all, I just hit agree at the end. I've agreed to this?
More or less. Again, there's a lot of legal gray area here. And, there's still a lot, to be worked out. And as you said, Congress is very reluctant to address these issues. But there are a lot of unresolved matters in this frontier that we really need to be tackling in coming days.
A listener wonders whether apps like Ghostery can stop this kind of data collection.
Ghostery is great, and yes, they can help a great deal. They still may not be 100% effective. It's very difficult to be at 100% effective because the amount of other of data that's being collected between your browser fingerprint, any cookies you may generate, other browsing history, you know, a persistent company may be still able to put it together, but Ghostery is certainly a definite recommendation. It will keep you private most of the time.
Because there are all sorts of cookies we're not even aware or have remained in our computers.
That's right.
Yeah. And we're back to Google with a lot of those cookies.
A lot of them, yeah. And, I mean, I would be remiss to state that, like, there are a lot of positive benefit. I mean, Google is you know, says it's tracking you and earnestly believes that it's tracking you to improve your user experience. You're going to get better searches, et cetera, with all this information. But again, it comes down to the user, to us, to decide how much of that information we want to volunteer. How much is convenience worth to us?
A listener also wonders, so even if you search with a non-tracking search engine like DuckDuckGo, the page you go to from the search results could have Google Analytics tracking you from that page?
That's right, yes.
Now, you mentioned that all of this was discovered by a researcher named Tim Liebert. How did he even get into this, and how did he determine what was happening?
Well, Tim actually built a custom software called Web X-Ray specifically for this purpose so that he could analyze large swaths of websites at a time and find out which elements they had installed that were tracking. So, you know, they vary from day to day, month to month, as developers install and uninstall new plugins. But this software allowed him to really analyze 80,000 sites within 1 month, April 2014 of last year.
Does he say he was surprised by what he discovered?
He was really surprised.
Because it's pretty big.
Yeah. I think the two things that surprised him the most, I mean, you'll have to ask him, but I think he was surprised just the vast ubiquity of how many tracking agents that Google had installed. He said he knew that that Google was going to be big, but he didn't know how big. And two, he said he was really surprised to see Experian showing up as much as it did, because he says here's this company that's in charge of monitoring my credit score. It knows my student loans, and now it knows if maybe I'm sick.
I'm assuming Axion and some of the other big companies as well.
Same, yeah.
So how do we get around this? Do we just not check up on anything that we are so addicted to going to Google or some other search engine to find out this kind of information?
Yeah, so,
it may not be in the latest edition of a book that we can buy.
Right. So my advice personally would be three-tiered. One, use Wikipedia and other non-tracking websites.
Although Wikipedia isn't always as accurate as you would like.
It's surprisingly accurate a lot of the time. It's as accurate as maybe your typical encyclopedia. But two, use Ghostery or Privacy Badger, which is the EFF's ad blocker. And three, if you're really concerned about this, we really have to really yell at Congress. We have to make noise. You have to say, listen, this is important. The web is seeping into more and more and more of our lives, and if we want to be sure that we're going to be able to keep things like our personal medical data private, we have to fight for that.
There's no web neutrality here.
Yeah.
Brian Merchant is a senior editor for Vice's Science and Tech Channel Motherboard. Thank you so much for scaring the heck out of me today.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.